Remember when President Trump said we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself, meaning COVID-19. And he said he envisioned church pews filled by what would be the end of this week. Well, instead, the CDC is saying everyone should stay home and wear masks for the foreseeable future. And the Surgeon General is saying this Holy Week for many could also be the saddest week in many Americans' lives. One reason for the change in policy could be that researchers from MIT found that during the 1918 flu, the cities that shut down the most saw their economies come back the strongest. Dylan Matthews, a senior correspondent for Vox, has taken a closer look at the research. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Robin.
And we should say these MIT researchers, Sergio Correa, Stephen Luck, and Emil Verner, used data from a 2000 paper in the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, that crunched some stats from 1918 of what different cities did. So what were some of the things they did, the varying degrees of isolation?
A lot of the measures are quite similar to stuff that you hear about now during coronavirus, things like school closures, bans on big public gatherings, mandatory isolation and quarantine for people who've been diagnosed with coronavirus. So a lot of social distancing procedures before the term social distancing became a thing.
It was fascinating to read in your article that people were quarantined in their homes with an official placard declaring their location to be under quarantine. And the cities that did the most, in other words, did not just one or two of these things, but the most of them, you know, did them for health policies. But as you write, these health policies, in fact, became economic policies. How so?
Right. So the JAMA paper by doctors and public health researchers found a strong association between these policies and lower mortality. But what these economists have done is pair that data on what cities did with data we have now about what happened to the economies in these cities over time. So what happened to jobs at this point? We mostly had a manufacturing economy, so they particularly look at jobs in factories and manufacturing output in manufacturing plants, the share of the population that has jobs. And they found that just as areas with these policies had better health outcomes, they also had better economic outcomes. And at least some of this seems to be because it really hurts your economy to have a large pandemic crushing through your city.
Well, especially if people die, because as you write, these health policies of quarantining and social distancing saved lives. The cities that had fewer deaths had a healthier workforce on the other side. So fewer deaths equaled a better economy.
Exactly. And conversely, cities that got hit harder, and one of the things they find in this paper is that those were disproportionately cities on the East Coast, that in 1918 to 1919, the pandemic sort of went east to west. And so cities like San Francisco and Seattle had more time to get quarantining policies in place. And cities like Boston or New York City were harder hit. But ones that were harder hit saw nearly a 20% drop in manufacturing output months after the pandemic had passed.
Right. And as you say, the cities that were watching this happen had a better chance to put more isolation in place to try to stave off what they were seeing happen in other cities. You point out there are some flaws with this. For instance, we don't know. Maybe the cities that did better had other things that were better, too, including, you know, hospital infrastructures. But it really does seem, on the face of it, that, you know, the way to have a better economy after a pandemic is to have more pain during the pandemic and shut things down quicker and stave off the effects of the pandemic.
That's right. And one reaction some people have to the cure can't be worse than the disease rhetoric is to say, we don't exist for the economy. The economy exists for us. But I almost feel like you don't have to embrace that trade-off. And one thing this research shows us is that the economy is also made up of people. And when people are healthier, the economy is healthier.
Yeah. Again, this hasn't been peer-reviewed. This seemed pretty eyebrow-raising, and it feels as if, we don't know, but it feels as if it's having an impact on policies as they're made now. How's it, you know, going through economic circles?
For sure. I think one thing that's been remarkable to me is seeing the unity of economics as a profession right now in this crisis. There's just an enormous amount of consensus that what you need to do is keep people socially distant, contain the pandemic, save lives, and worry about getting the economy back to where it was before after the pandemic has passed.
Well, it also means, as you write, that we don't have to ask that terrible question, what's the value of a human life? You had Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick saying grandparents would happily die for the future economy of their grandchildren. I'm paraphrasing, but his point was we don't have to shut everything down to protect our senior citizens. They don't want us to shut down the economy. Raising the question of what's the value of a grandparent's life, you say this research seems to indicate we don't have to ask those terrible questions. We know that shutting down the economy is better for those grandchildren after the pandemic is over.
Absolutely. One thing this paper suggests is that we might not have a hard trade-off here. This might be a win-win.
Yeah. That's Dylan Matthews, senior correspondent for Vox. Dylan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.